This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Cutting Room Floor. I'm Alex.
And I'm Eric.
I'm just going to insert that to everyone now, singing.
Well, that's what I had to do, because, you know, you did the last one, being right. Like, I'm Alex.
That's perfect. That works. We are sitting here drinking out of these wonderful Star Wars, are these pints?
Yeah, steins.
Steins.
Beer steins.
Right.
Although I don't put beer in them.
Right. It's vodka. it's water. We're not doing drunk recordings. Gosh. That would be a mess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was actually thinking it would have been funny when you... Because I didn't realize that they were Rebellion and Empire.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, if he gives me the Empire one, what does that say about me? Is that some kind of subliminal message?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, maybe I'll let him pick. I was just like, I'll just hand him this money. Oh, he has the Rebellion one.
Here, take this, you oppressive tyrant. What? Well, cool. Well, we are going to talk today about the BBC's Sherlock, the first series, as they call it, across the pond.
So, yeah, otherwise, series one. Otherwise known as, like, one of the greatest television shows ever. Oh,
so good.
So amazing. the casting of this show is amazing.
Yeah, everybody's great.
I actually, again, similar to our Parks and Rec thing, I don't think I watched Sherlock until I heard Benedict Cumberbatch as the voice of Smaug.
Oh, really?
In a show that will remain remain nameless. Terrible. Anyways, but yeah, it's the casting is great.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, did you want to jump into this? Sorry, I totally cut you off. Do you want to do the summary?
Yeah, let's run into that real quick.
Let's do that real quick.
So basically, the series is kicked off with Dr. John Watson back in modern day London after serving in the war in Afghanistan. His therapist, convinced that Watson is plagued by violent memories, urges him to express himself in a blog. But nothing much ever happens to Watson, and it's not that he's haunted by the war, he longs for it. Enter an eccentric roommate, one Sherlock Holmes. He plays the violin when he's thinking, sometimes doesn't talk for days, and has a dubious career as a self-described consulting detective. When what appears to be a serial suicide case surfaces in London, a desperate detective, Inspector Lestrade, reluctantly consults the freakish Sherlock. To Sherlock, a crime spree is like Christmas, only made better by the possibility that these crimes may be the work of a devious killer. The game is on, and before it is over, Sherlock will put his life on the line, all to keep from being bored to death. So, yes.
Yes. It is so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I actually avoided this show for the longest time, because I was afraid I was going to binge watch it.
Right.
Because this show only has 3 episodes per season.
Right.
Now, granted, they are like movies because they are an hour and a half long.
They're basically like, 90 minutes each.
90 minutes each, which is awesome.
It really is a treat, like, each time, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so I avoided it for the longest time. But then I remember I was with some friends, and it was just a downpour of a day.
Right.
We were visiting some friends in another state, and they... We just sat down and watched. I think we sat down and watched the whole entire first series. Because it was a downpour. We couldn't...
Right, couldn't really do anything.
Couldn't do anything. So we sat and just watched the first series. And I'm like, this is such an awesome show. Like, I've always enjoyed Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
I mean, as I was telling you before we started recording, I haven't read them yet, but I bought the whole entire Sherlock Holmes series of books on a whim on a Black Friday.
Right.
You know? And I just, I love the way this, so it's awesome. There are 90-minute episodes. It also sucks because once you're done with that episode or right. that season, you have to wait 3 years on a right. cliffhanger.
Right. What's interesting about these episodes, I would say the first six episodes, really, mm-hmm. is how interconnected they are.
Oh, yeah.
They're really just one big story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really until the third series where you kind of start... I feel like there's maybe some disconnect between the episodes, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah.
I think that these first six really just, they tie and weave so well into each other
yeah.
that you can just kind of talk about the series as a whole.
Yeah.
If you there's point by point things you want to break down from each episode, though, that's
yeah.
totally fine by me.
I mean, just... I'm sure when they said, hey, we're going to make a Sherlock Holmes show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but by the way, this is not these 1800s.
Right.
This is going to be set in modern day.
Right.
Some people probably laughed at that. They're like, you can't. How?
Right.
How are you going to do that?
Right.
And they did such an amazing mm-hmm. job.
Yeah.
They did such an amazing job.
It's true.
Another thing I love is... I love the editing of mm-hmm. showing how Sherlock thinks. Like, they have the writing, like, he looks at some corpse's fingers, and he's like, oh, they're dry. And then he flips it over, and you see wet. So you
right,
can see what
yeah.
he's thinking.
Yeah, I think that's
and
cool,
it's like,
too.
That's so cool. And I, but even just not only that, but, like, somebody opens a door, or someone, like, they do, like, the whole, like, someone passes in front of the camera,
mm-hmm.
and then, like... you cut to, like, a wall, and all of a sudden the wall opens, and it fades into the next scene of someone mm-hmm. opening a door.
Right.
Like, it's yeah. just, the editing is so awesome.
Yeah. Another thing on that front is I also like how, like, whenever, because obviously modern technology is really expertly woven into the show. So you have Sherlock, and he's using... you know, his cell phone all the time. He texts a lot. He just says he prefers to text.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he gets a message, like as he's like scrolling through on his phone, the message will
appear on screen.
And if he swipes
for the viewer, yeah,
yeah it'll go up at the same time, you know, if it's like a long message or something. And you kind of see that just to delve a little bit into, the Scandal episode with Irene mm-hmm. Adler. Like you kind of get that glimpse of like, this long list of messages, you know, as he scrolls up, it just zooms through him, you know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that way you can, as the reader can kind of, or as the viewer can read it as he reads it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not basically through exposition be told what was going on.
Well, that's one thing. They still keep the classic thing like, hey, here's how I figured it out at the
right.
very, as the final, like,
right.
yeah, here's how I solved the issue
mm-hmm.
or the murder or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
They still keep the audience like, hey, what is he seeing?
Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
which
that's
is
true.
But they keep it to minimal stuff. Like, hey, he's observing stuff, but
right.
And you know, he is a high functioning
sociopath. Yeah,
which I think is interesting. Just like, I've been thinking back to the first episode. Like, he's sitting there, no one's saying it. He's like, shut up, everyone, just shut up.
Right.
Running. Don't even think! You especially, John.
Right.
Or not, whatever the one, not John.
I know who you're talking about, though. I can't remember his name.
The forensics
yeah.
guy. He's like, especially you. And like, I love his little, like, random things. Like, is this what it's like for all the rest of you? My goodness, what do you do with all the, with these brains of yours?
Right.
What is it like? You know?
It's true. Yeah, I really enjoy his mythology. Oh man, methodology.
Lore? Methodology.
Methodology. Mm-hmm. I can't talk. You know, and watching how he cracks down the cases, I think that's really well mm-hmm. done. The scripting is really really well done. I mean, these episodes are long.
Yeah.
But they clip by.
And I mean, because there's, like, hardly any filler.
Oh, yeah.
Every
yeah.
scene, either has some type of character development for a character,
mm-hmm.
or it's something around the case that right. something gets found out.
Exactly.
You know, like, yeah, and I just, the humor in this show is amazing.
Right. Well, it ties in really well. It's not like it's not forced or anything.
No.
And it's tension-breaking humor for sure.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's great.
It's great. Like, I love like the bit where like, oh, we need to get somebody here, Sherlock. We need to call the police. Oh, okay. He goes out, just pops off his 9mm like 5 times, like on their way, you know. or the other thing, it's like when he's interrogating that guy in Baker Street. He's calling Lestrade, and he's like, yeah, you need to come over to Baker Street immediately. There's been a horrible accident. Right. What happened? A man, he fell out a window. And then it cuts, then the next to add to it, he's like, how many times did you throw him out?
Oh, I lost count. Yeah. That was classic. So this first series... kind of starts out with this serial killing. Mm-hmm. And from the get-go, I think Sherlock kind of suspects that there's something bigger at play.
Yeah.
And right then, you find out that it's Moriarty behind pulling the strings.
Which I was so happy when the guy screamed that out.
Right,
I was
like, yeah.
Good, they're bringing Moriarty in.
Right. And it's interesting to see their take on him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... So Moriarty kind of plays into that first episode. The second episode, he's there, but not as much. But
there's an email message at the very end.
Yeah, but they tie that second episode in come the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that third episode is just that's all Moriarty, and you don't. It's interesting because you get introduced to him, and you have no idea it's him.
Yeah,
he's just introduced as Jim, Molly's boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and
the viewers write it off because Sherlock wrote him off.
Right, yeah, exactly. And it's not until the very end where you find out that Jim in the lab is James Moriarty,
yeah.
You know, the mastermind, and Sherlock's equal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was just so really well done.
Yeah.
That was a great reveal. And it's one of those reveals that when it happens, you're just like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I unfortunately stepped into the kitchen right at that moment. And people were like... And I'm like, wait, what? Who is this? And like, I totally, completely... Like, I think I... Or maybe like when he was introduced as Jim,
mm-hmm.
I think I like... So I was doing something else... And so I wasn't paying attention. So, like, I'm like, wait, no. Who is this? It's the guy at the beginning of the episode. Right. I'm like, oh.
Oh, it's such a fleeting scene, too. Like, if it was really going to be beat over your head, like, you would have seen the guy, like, all over the place, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the rest of the episode. But it's just that one moment, or, you know, that one scene, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's just back with a vengeance at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's... really, really fantastic reveal.
Yeah.
And the actor who plays him, gosh, I can't remember his name now. I want to say it's Andrew Scott.
Okay.
Is just fabulous as Moriarty.
Oh, he's great. I mean,
he's funny and he's kind of edgy, but he's frightening too.
He has his moment.
People have died.
That's what people do!
That was like a time where it's like, yeah, like you get the goosebumps on your arms, just like, I would not want to be in an alley with this guy, because he is horrifying.
He can, he's, like, totally unstable.
Right.
And, like, he can, you say one wrong thing, and he will, like...
Oh, yeah, he'll snap.
He'll snap, yeah. And just, like...
And you're dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Really, really, again, going back to the casting, just really well done all around. Yeah. Yeah, not a single weak link in the whole cast.
Oh, no.
I mean, everybody is just...
Brings their A game.
Yeah, yeah, top form. So, what else did you have from the show?
It is just... I mean, cinematography.
Yeah, that was a note I had too.
Incredible.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
I will say, I think this show kind of like how you watch the Lord of the Rings films, and you're like, I want to go to New Zealand right now.
Yeah,
you know. I think watching this, like, I've always wanted to go to England.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things of getting around to it. But London in particular. And watching this show just kind of, like, reinvigorated that. I'm like, I want to go see, like, all of this.
I want to go back because they actually have kept the fake door.
Oh, yeah.
Because the pub or whatever below the apartment is an actual real pub.
Right, yeah.
And they keep the 221B, like, it's not a real door.
Right.
But they keep it there so
that's people awesome. Can, like,
take photos of stuff. But when I was in England, like, 15 years ago, I asked, because of me, I liked, you know, I'd read Hound of the Baskervilles, and that was basically, but I was like, I want to find 221B.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. We went to Baker Street in London, and we found there was a plaque with, like, you know, the deer cap and the pipe, and it just said 221B.
That's funny.
And I'm like, you know, so we all took a photo in front of it. Unfortunately, I was like 13 at the time,
right.
So I was like, I didn't look. It's not one of my best photos. Let's gotcha. Just say that. But it was cool to see that.
Right.
It was so, and like now, like with the Harry Potter craze, and right. like because when I was there, it was like, hey, here's a statue of Peter Pan in Hyde Park.
Right.
Or maybe not. I don't. Some famous park in London, wherever it is. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. But like,
so we got emailed by, there's another Cutting Room Floor podcast, and they're based out of England, or out of the UK, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know where that park is and are listening to this, they were really chill. They were really cool emailing us. I thought they were very pleasant. And so if you guys know the park Eric's talking about, let us know.
Yeah.
We could Google it, but this might be more fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, stellar guys. Guy and gal, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
just stellar, super, super polite to email with. Side note there, but yeah, reminded me of that.
Nice.
So...
I mean, other things about the show, the writing.
Yeah.
The writing is great, snappy.
Well, what's also interesting is, so there's three people basically behind the show.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Moffat, Mark Gatiss, and I can't remember the other guy's name now.
And Stephen is, he plays...
That's Mark Gatiss. He plays, Mycroft, yeah.
Okay.
But, so there's the three people behind it, and they plot out, from what I understand... the series together, and then they each write an episode.
Oh, that's cool.
And so it's kind of interesting how, I mean, I'm sure that they collaborate on...
We're going to do this famous story.
Well, what I mean is, like, kind of like how, you know, when you watch an episode of any U.S. show, for example, it'll say, written by so-and-so, but the writing staff collaborates on... the script. So even though it's credited to one person, you know, it's got, there's a lot of hands in the mix.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they probably all collaborate on the scripts for Sherlock, but, it's kind of interesting just how, I would say tight the, scripting is and how, you know, even though there's, if it's that way, you know, each person credited for one episode, they really, you know, it feels like it's coming from a, you know, the characters don't feel different or anything, is what I'm trying to say. So
did you know that the introduction is, all the shots are taken from various episodes?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
He's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, when I came across, like, he's using the magnifying glass, I was like, that's in the opening shot. And then, like, of course, when I saw series two, they added in stuff with Irene, and I was like, cool, they're changing the introduction a little bit.
Yeah, they just modify it to highlight things from that current series. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you have any cons for this?
Other than the fact that it has to...
That it takes forever.
It's just an amazing show. If there are any cons, they would be super nitpicky.
Right. I don't have any for 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. I think when you start getting to 3 and 4, there are some issues that come up.
I haven't seen 4 yet, so
okay.
Don't spoil anything.
Oh, I mean, I was just going to tell you about how everybody dies, but...
What?
But, I mean, there's things when we start getting in there that I'm sure we'll get to. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, for this series and series 2, I don't have a single one. I mean,
no.
I think that it's... And that's not just to be a fanboy. I mean, I just think that the show is that good. Yeah, you could find stuff that you could be nitpicky about, but mm-hmm. I just honestly think the show is that good.
Yeah. I know a lot of people told me when before I watched them, they're like, they said series 1 and 2 are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, series 3 is... It's okay. I still enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
But I can see people like, oh, the villain's not... The overall villain, he's not that great. You know, it's like,
because
you just had... Or they introduced Moriarty, you know.
Well, I'm sure we'll cover this more when we get to series 3.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, I think, is that you see him for the briefest of moments
mm-hmm.
in the first episode in series 3. And then he's just there in the last episode. Like, there's nothing of him in the second episode.
To connect him.
Yeah. With Moriarty, I mean, even though he's in the background... I mean, he's largely a background player until the 6th episode.
Yeah.
But his presence is felt.
Oh, yeah.
You can always get the feeling that he's somewhere in the background
mm-hmm.
and he's pulling strings, mm-hmm. where you just don't get that feeling with I think it's Magnuson.
Yeah, Magnuson.
Yeah, you just don't get that feeling with him in the 3rd series.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of just like he's set up to be this threat. But you just don't get you never get the feeling for that like you do with Moriarty.
Yeah.
Where he's built up that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you know, where I start. I think there's some flaws in it. These first two, though, like these 6 episodes, they did it so well and really layered it that, yeah, I just have a hard time finding anything to complain about.
Yeah, and much like any type of film or television show that I watch,
mm-hmm.
I always watch it with the thing, okay, would I buy this?
Mm-hmm.
Do I like this enough to buy it? This is a show, yes, I know it's on Netflix.
Right.
But much like how The Clone Wars was still on Netflix until next year. this is a show I want to own.
Mm-hmm.
And even the somewhat it's still amazing, but somewhat lackluster season 3.
Right.
Series 3.
Right.
You know, like, I plan on owning all of them.
Right.
Now,
well, and I think even going to that, like, it's not like that the 3rd series is bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
It's not bad. It's just, I think it's...
After the amazing first two, it kind of couldn't live up to them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not like I'd watch it and be like, well, crap, it's an episode from series 3, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's still enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, cool. Any other thoughts on this?
It's amazing.
Watch it.
I know I've already said that. Watch it.
Well, that's the best thing, though. I mean, you're right. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, cue it up right now. You know? Why are you listening to us? Go watch Sherlock.
Go watch Sherlock.
Cool. Well, anything else you want to add?
Mm-mm.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll be back next time, probably with another... We're doing this, like, super far out because of scheduling issues. So we'll probably do another news recap type thing, but don't quote me on that.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.